الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to another episode of Silsila Self-Reformation. The final Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, has said, there's purification and washing, ghusl, for everything. And the purification of a believer's heart from rust is sending salat, meaning durood, upon me. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I hope that you've already made some good intentions prior to watching this silsila. Let's make some additional few good intentions. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, intention of a moment is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions. I will listen to the bayan attentively. And whenever I will hear sallu ala al-habib, uskurullah, tubu ilallah, I will reply with the intention of gaining thawab, inshallah azza wa jal. A king of Basra once left his kingship, his power, his monarchy, and adopted an ascetic and a pious life. However, after some time, he started to become inclined towards his leadership again, and he made a promise that he will live the rest of his life in comfort and luxury. He had built a grand palace in which he laid down exquisite carpet and adorned it with every type of furniture possible. And he specified one room just for guests. His guest room had the most luxurious beds and had all types of food. The king would invite people to be his guests, and after witnessing the magnificence of the palace and lofty rank of the king, they would compliment him. They continued for a long period of time. The king got lost in the luxuries of the world. He was always absorbed in the pleasures of the world. Lost in his luxurious life, he started having long desires. He started having long hopes. One day, he called his close ministers, advisors, and friends and said, "You're witnessing my joy in this grand palace. Look at how much comfort I am in. I wish to make similar palaces for my sons. Stay with me for a few days, enjoy yourself, and give me productive suggestions regarding building of more palaces for my son." Thus, they all began to live with him. One night, while they were busy in amusement and entertainment, a voice from the unseen was heard from the corner of a palace which said, "O those who have forgotten their death and are busy in constructing buildings, leave long hopes, for death has been destined already. Regardless if a person laughs himself or make others laugh, death has already been destined for him, and it is ready and waiting for the one who has very long hopes. Do not make these kinds of buildings in which you will not live, and instead occupy yourself with worship so that your sins are forgiven." The king and his companions became frightened after hearing this voice from unseen. The king said to his friends, "Did you also hear the voice that I heard?" They all said, "Yes, we also heard it." Then the king said, "Are you also feeling the same pain that I am feeling?" They said, "What are you feeling?" The king said, "I'm feeling a burden upon my heart, and I feel that this is the announcement of my death." The people said, "This is not the cause at all. May your life be increased and your honor be elevated. Do not worry." The voice from the unseen put an end to the long hopes of the king and his plans of amusement. The entertainment became unimportant in his eyes. He was overcome with the fear of the hereafter. The flames of his desires were extinguished. Making a firm intention to leave sins, he made the following plea in the divine court, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and said, "Almighty Allah, I make you and your servant who are present here witness that I turn to you. I am ashamed at all my sins and crimes, and I repent. O my Creator, if you will to keep me alive in this world for some time, then allow me to always walk the path of obedience. And if you will to grant me death and call me towards yourself, then have mercy upon me and forgive my sins out of your generosity." The king remained engaged in his pleas and his sorrows increased. And then he began to repeat the following words, "By Allah Almighty, death. By Allah Almighty, death." My dear viewers of Madani Channel, this narration speaks of a king who changed. but then went back to his luxurious life, went back to his comfortable life. He got so consumed in it that he started developing these everlasting hopes, these long desires. This made him forget what is definitely going to happen. That is death. These everlasting hopes became a hurdle for his reformation. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, these long hopes are actually an obstacle for reformation. Long hopes push people into deep pit of sins. They open the doors to desires. They become the cause of a person being afflicted with many difficulties in this world and the hereafter. They trap a person in the pleasures of the world. They make a person neglectful of the terrors of the grave. They make a person daring in committing sins. They become an obstacle in self-reformation. They make a person neglectful of preparing for death. And they make a person fall into all kinds of sins. Just as the king who became busy in constructing grand palaces and an amusement and entertainment after becoming trapped in the arms of Long's hope and desired to live for a long time. The detrimental company of his friends and flattering services of his servant made him forget the loneliness that he was about to face in his grave. But as soon as the flame of long hopes extinguished, the darkness of helplessness dispelled, the king turned away from his sins and his heart became displeased with the world. He immediately repented in the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In relation to long hopes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in part 14, Surah Al-Hijr, verse number 3, translation from Kanzul Iman, leave them to eat and enjoy, and for aspiration to involve them in play, so they will shortly come to know. Allama Mawlana Sayyid Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi states under this verse, there is a warning in this verse to be trapped in long hopes and to be drowned in the pleasure of the world is not befitting for a person of faith. Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, long hopes make one forget the hereafter and following desires deter one from the truth. We have been talking about long hopes. The question is, what is long hopes? What is the definition of long hopes? It is said that long hopes means to waste the precious moment of life to achieve those things which are extremely difficult to attain. Remember, long hopes are one of the weapons of shaitan. It is stated in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, the accursed shaitan places the thoughts of remaining alive for a long time into the hearts and minds of people, thereby making them oblivious to death. Thus, people live their life with this hope until death suddenly captures them in its trap. And then no amount of regret can benefit, and one will be forced to face the consequences of his action. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, in today's day and age, most of us has forgotten death and are lost in long desires and long hopes of this world. We do not have the mindset to seek Islamic knowledge, nor the ability to distinguish between halal and haram. In short, being neglectful of death, having long hopes and love of the world does not allow us to change. It does not allow us to reform ourselves. It does not allow us to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter into our hearts. The root of all of this is long hopes. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, أَوَّلُ فَسَادِهَا الْبُخْلُ وَالْعَمَلُ, meaning the first tribulation, the first fasad of this ummah is stinginess and long hope. Commenting on this hadith, Hakim al-Ummah Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala says that the first sin of Muslims, which is the root of other sin, is these two things. Number one is stinginess, which is the root of bloodshed and corruption. Number two is long hopes, which is the root of heedlessness and sins. Even in old age, a person thinks that he still has a long life and that he will perform virtuous deeds in the future. Thus, they have the mindset and then the death arrives. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, it is a reality that the nafs and shaitan deceive us by telling us that we are still young and can repent in old age. You have life ahead of you. Repent in the future. Perform an abundance of good deed in old age. Statement like this, thoughts like this, do not allow us to change or reform ourselves. Wait a minute. Let's start thinking. We will recall many young people who were living with us, amongst us, with the same mindset, but life was not faithful to them. and death came to them unexpectedly and took them from this blissful world into their dark graves. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, long hopes create a greed for wealth and money in one's heart, encourage one to construct grand buildings, removes the fear of having to answer for every action on the day of judgment in the divine court, removes the fear of having a bad end, and cause one to have enmity towards other Muslim with the hope of repenting in the future. Many people end up falling prey to backbiting and tale-telling and into sins like jealousy, pride, and shaitan rules their hearts. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, one of the greatest awliyas, he says, long hopes are an obstacle on the path of virtuous deeds and worship. They are a cause of every corruption and evil. Being afflicted with long hopes is a disease which causes people to fall into many other diseases too. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, everlasting desires or long hopes can make a person lazy. You always keep thinking, I still have time, I will do it in the future. With this mindset, a person wastes opportunity of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Dawood Ta'i rahmatullahi ta'ala states, the one who fears the punishment of the hereafter given by Allah, he views even the distant thing as nearby, and the one who is afflicted with long hopes becomes involved in bad deeds. Therefore, in order to rid ourselves of long hope, we should keep our minds on the harms of having long hopes and the virtues of remembering death. By doing so, we will be successful in reforming ourselves. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, what we've just discussed is the first reason that actually stops us from reforming ourselves. The first reason that we discussed today is long hopes, everlasting desires, running after things that are very hard to attain while missing an opportunity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another reason too, which will prevent us, if we don't look into it, if we don't understand it, and if we don't overcome it, this will prevent us from our self-reformation as well. An obstacle of our reformation, and the second most important reason behind us not changing, is a lack of self-accountability, that is not reflecting upon our own actions. Because we do not take ourselves to account for our own actions, remember, a lack of self-accountability makes a person heedless of the hereafter and takes one away from good deeds. The person who takes himself to account and ponders over his actions develops a love for performing good deeds and always tries to avoid sins. Death is always in his mind and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills his heart. This is the reason our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, will perform self-accountability daily, ponder over their own actions, and tremble out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a habit of Sayyidatuna Rabia Basariya rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha, that when night would fall and all of the people would go to sleep, she rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha would say to herself, O Rabia, this could be the last night of your life. It is possible that you will not see the sun rise tomorrow. Stand and worship your Lord so that you are not ashamed on the day of judgment. Be determined and do not sleep. Stay awake and worship your Lord. After saying this, she rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha would stand and pray nawafil until dawn. After offering Fajr Salah, she rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha would address herself again and say, O my nafs, congratulations to you, for you undertook my hardships last night. But remember, this day can be the last day of your life. After saying this, she rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha would again busy herself in worship, and sleep would overcome her. She rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha would stand and start walking in the house while saying to herself, Rabia, is this even sleep? Where is the pleasure in this? Leave this and sleep to your heart's content in the grave for a long time. You did feel very sleepy today, but you will feel very sleepy in the upcoming night. Be determined and please your Lord. She rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha lived for 50 years like this. She continued this lifestyle of praying day and night for 50 years. She rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha never slept on a bed nor rested her head on a pillow until she rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha passed away. Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala in performing self-accountability, would lash his feet at nighttime and say, "Tell me, what deed did you do today?" My dear viewers of Madani Channel, in the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, self-accountability is called pondering and contemplating. Amir Ahl-Sunnat, Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatul Aliya is a true and real well-wisher. He has given us a Madani formula by the name of Nek Amal, in which we can act upon and gain immense passion for rectifying ourselves and the people of the entire world. This gift of Nek Amal revives the memory of the pious predecessors. We can gain passion for self-rectification by performing self-accountability through opening the booklet in seclusion while we are alone by ourselves and reviewing our deeds by responding with a yes or a no to the question that are being asked. It is as though this booklet of Nek Amal assists us in furnishing the tool of our rectification and makes us present ourselves in our own established court of self-accountability and make our own conscience deliver the verdict. The Nek Amal are a compilation of deeds which lead one to paradise and saves him from hell. The pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, would also do self-accountability to gain lofty ranks. The third cause that actually stops us from our self-reformation is bad company. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, company has a profound impact on a person. In the current era, bad friends are one cause of increase in sins in our society, a lack of concern to rectify ourselves, no desire to do good deeds, and negligence of death. When our friendship is with those who do not have any concerns for their own hereafter, nor the others, then we will also develop such attitude after remaining in their company, after befriending them. Similarly, and when we will end up spending our precious moments of life in futile matter while remaining negligent of self-rectification. Remember, bad company completely destroys a person and it opens doors to calamities and worries. Bad company can distance one from salah. It can throw one to the pit of sins. It can deprive one from serving his parents. It can become a means of fighting along with being a cause of torment for others. It can be means of killing and fighting. It can trap one in wrong actions like theft, gang robbery, looting and burglary. It can lead a person to become intoxicated. It can force one to earn haram income. It can cause one of hard-heartedness. Amir Ahl-Sunnat, Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatul Aliya writes on page 290, volume 2 of his book Faizan Sunnat, in a chapter called to Righteousness. He says that in Punjab, Pakistan, a strange smell began to emanate in a neighborhood. After a long struggle, the locals were able to trace the smell from a locked house. The police was informed about it. After the police broke the lock in the presence of some people and entered the house, everyone was frightened to see that a corpse of a young man was lying on a bedstead. Some of his body parts had decayed and insects were crawling in them. Witnessing this sight, many people, including children, fainted. After investigating, it turned out that the young man had come to the Iber work and was living in the house on a rent. He had a friendship with some gamblers. On the day, the young man won a lot of money in gambling from his friend. In order to stash the money they had gambled away, the losing friend fastened a trap around his neck and murdered him repeatedly by giving him electric shocks. Then they locked the house and ran away without shrouding him or burying him. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you've heard how destructive the company of bad friend is for this world and the hereafter. Thus, it is better to leave the company of bad people and adopt the company of religious and pious people. Because as-suhbatu mu'athiratun, meaning company has its effect. The fortunate person who is blessed with good company achieves salvation because good habits are developed due to the blessing of good company. It can make one punctual in offering salah. It gives the yearning for the recitation of Holy Quran. The passion for seeking Islamic knowledge is attained. Ease in carrying out good deeds is achieved. It becomes a means of contemplating the hereafter. It produces the fear of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. It saves one from bad habit. It revives the passion of acting upon the sunnah. It becomes a means of gaining respect in the society. It becomes a surety to a success in this world and the hereafter. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala says, "Try your very best to avoid a bad companion, because a bad companion is more dangerous and harmful than a dangerous snake. A venomous snake will only harm your body, but an evil companion will destroy both your body and faith." My dear viewers of Madani channel, our Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, man is upon the religion of his friends, so he should look at whom he befriends. Choose your friends wisely. We have discussed three things today that put obstacles in self-reformation. Remember, our silsila is all about self-reformation. How can we reform ourselves? What are the factors that actually become a hindrance in self-reformation? And what are the activities, what are the good deeds that we can adopt for self-reformation? Today we learned three things that put obstacle in self-reformation: long hopes, lack of self-accountability, and bad company. Of course, when we identify a problem, we need to identify a solution as well that will help us overcome the issue. The solution is very simple. Associate yourself with the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Be friends with those who have a habit of traveling in the Madani qafilas. Be friends with those who have a habit of sitting in i'tikaf in a masjid. Be friends with those who attend weekly ijtimas of Dawat-e-Islami. Be friends with those who act upon the nek amal. You will see the desire to do good deeds. Solution is right in front of us, but the choice is yours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyin Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.